I pretty much stated what the assumptions on page, on the second page, it talks to you about what the assumptions are. Most of the other boards have a management assistant. That's the classification that's assigned to the person who works for these boards. And that, the second step is $1,809. As with the policy of the other small agencies of five or less FTE, we fully funded merit increases for this 0.3 person, and you'll find that included in the personal services. You'll also notice that per diem is based, if you look at an 18-month budget, we're talking about 5 meetings. And you'll notice the OPE on the per diem on page 2.
Under service and supplies, you gave it at $50 per meeting per member, and over here it says 30.
Mr. Chair, what that is per diem is the amount of stipend that board members receive in lieu of compensation, and that's fixed at $30 per day.
Okay.
The in-state travel accounts for meals and traveling expenses.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Carla, did you sit down and figure out how much you would have to expend bottom line to get started? The hope and expectation here is that the folks will volunteer to register. If they don't, you're going to be in the red. The other question is, if your expectations just don't live up to it, do you have a sunset provision which says if we don't get these folks in and take care of that debt in that first 2-year period, then it really shows that there isn't the interest for the professional dietitian out there. Did you think about that at all? Because I wonder if you want to hold any meetings or spend very much money until you get those first batch of people in that pays for the $10,000 to get rolling.
Mr. Chair, Representative Peterson.
Yeah. No. Hey, switch the sides of the name. Pecking order is different.
I keep doing this. Well, Tony and I just shift places.
It's all right. I don't have my dress on today. I'm not a drag.
We serve on two committees together, so we get confused. Right.
In the morning, I sit here and he sits here.
And at the end of the session, you begin to look alike.
Poor looking self-Nancy. Yes.
I'd like to ask Sonia Connor to come up and talk to that. She did the research on what the experience for voluntary licensure has been.
Which one?
Well, I would assume that the board would have to meet and do some work before they could do any licensing, because you'd have to adopt the administrative rules.
Yeah, you'd have to.
I'd like to say that, you know, something about this profession that's trying to do this. They're enthusiastic about doing this. They're going to register. They're going to get licensed. They want this. They wanted it for 3 sessions, and my guess is they're going to be here. And I wouldn't want to have a sunset on it. I think they'll do it enthusiastically.
Well, the experience is we have voluntary registration at the national level, and in Oregon, 498 dietitians are registered with the American Dietetic Association, and 38 are not, and most of those are not because they're retirement age, and there may be some, but that's the ratio. And in the states, we now have 23 states and to Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. that have some sorts of licensure bills, some voluntary, some mandatory. And regardless of which type of bill they have, the dietitians that are signing up for this are anywhere from 75 to over 90% across the board.
Is the is this amount out of line for of the fee for national registration? Make a significant difference?
No, it's not outside. It's on the licensure renewal fee is a little higher than typical. Typically, the states are running in the $35 annual licensure fee. The numbers of dietitians in many of these states is greater than we have in Oregon, which may drive it up. But it is not at the fee even proposed here is not outside other states.
I guess the question I was asking was, what's the comparison between this proposed renewal fee and the fee that you must pay to the national organization?
The national organization, just to belong to the ADA, is $100, and registration annually, I may have to have some help from the audience, is it 35 now?
25
annually. And that there are 57, almost 58,000 dietitians.
I was just wondering if you can predict when you have a renewal fee of $110 if you can predict the reaction of dietitians on the basis of those who are going to a national organization in which the rates are considerably lower. That was all.
Well, it's, yeah, it's basically double that. It's a $50, basic $55 per year, so it is double. What I will tell you what I have thought about, it's higher than what I sort of think it might take to run this, and in talking and all the good help that Carla has given us, which really has been very good, what we sort of came to was that we agreed, you know, if we could demonstrate that this could be run at a lower rate, then we could lower the fees in subsequent years, which would be, and I think that, you know, we feel comfortable doing
that. Well, the question that we're really, that's been focused here is we are committing the organization to a budget, and you're borrowing money to start that. And the question then is on the assurance that you will have immediate and adequate people paying their fees to assure that it is financial in this for this coming biennium.
I think that there's every reason to expect that this will happen. The enthusiasm is very broad. The number of dietitians in Oregon that have been involved in this process over the last three sessions, and particularly in this session, would lead me to believe that this would occur. This is something that people want professionally. And it is true that the passage of this bill will not enhance the dollar in the pocket of any dietitian in Oregon, that this is being done for professional upgrading. And I think that there's enough enthusiasm that we could expect to meet this budget.
To fund this for 18 months in this biennium would require something in the order of 300 people to register.
Right.
Maybe less than that, actually.
Yeah.
Do you know in how many other states are dietitians reimbursed for third-party reimbursement?
That is coming in. It's varying, and the state that achieved licensure, the earliest Texas, now has a law passed along in the last session of their legislature for third-party reimbursement, and it has established credentialing for third-party reimbursement.
In going through reviewing what the states are doing, did you ask the question whether or not they ever held any contested case hearings regarding revocation or non-licensure?
Yes, they have had. There have been. Yes. I can't cite them specifically, except yes, there have been some test cases.
There has been some cases. And the $620 you have for your general fees in here doesn't anticipate anything like that.
Mr. Chair, it does not. But I think as Representative Van Vliet, what that allows for is 10 hours of Attorney General time over the 18 months that this board exists for whatever issues or problems it surfaces, including the writing of its own administrative rules. As the subcommittee has already pointed out, I think when you have voluntary registration and voluntary licensure, excuse me, and you don't have a hammer for whatever reinforcement or enforcement that you want. I think what the board was doing in including that language is perhaps building to the day when licensure would not be voluntary, probably eventual sessions and have it be a part of its statute. But we didn't include that in the AG expenditure of $620 for the next biennium.
And I think last time we discussed that we didn't expect our test cases to come to litigation. That's not our anticipation. We were hoping to resolve those otherwise, but in the event they would, it would take some money.
What is the expectation about when the $10,000 has to be repaid? Do we have any understanding of that? Certainly during the biennium sometime.
It's section 19.
Section 19.
Page 4 at the bottom of the page.
Yeah. Okay. And the board determines my sufficient.
No event later than January 1st, 1991.
Okay.
That's the issue. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I just want to elaborate a little bit on some of the pluses and minuses of the borrowing from the health division, and it was an idea that came up late, and so that's why our Kyle had no knowledge of it. Like, I should clarify that he came into this not being forewarned.
Well, his innocence is really
in order to make it possible, the repayment would have to occur at least within the same year. For the health division's cash flow, the sooner the repayment occurred, the better.
That's why I asked the question.
So you would say a minimum of 1 year, probably more preferred would be 6 months. So as soon as after their license revenue starts coming in, then the repayment should occur. But if it's a biennial licensing, they're going to get a large amount of money fairly quickly, presumably. So I don't think that would be a real negative impact.
Cliff, did you?
No, I did. All right.
What is the date of licensure? I mean, it's for the biennium. Is it staggered? Because the way this budget is predicated here, it's on the assumption that everybody licenses themselves on the same day, and the revenue all arrives on the same day, and the budget commences on the same day.
It doesn't happen that way.
And it doesn't work that way.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dutrow, if I can answer that question.
He's Hannah.
That's Van Blue. <Blue. laughs>
Senator Hand. We assume that although the agency would begin in January of 1990, it would have its fees collected in March. At least that was implicit in the discussions that we had, so that they could be operational and still getting the word out, and that people would have a March or late end of February deadline to get registered. And I was just looking for that in the bill when you asked the question. So it assumes that they would need whatever startup they get, either general fund or other funds from the health division, to operate on as its sole operating, as its sole revenue source, until the revenues start trickling in. And to get back to Representative Van Vliet, it would probably take about $6,000 for them to get up, purchase their capital outlay, pay their person for 2 months, pay their rent, pay their phone bill, purchase some office supplies, and get their forms printed and their administrative rules up and running. Before they could call themselves a full-fledged commission.
So you don't put the health division in jeopardy. My feeling would be that you'd want that paid back within 12 months or sooner, should be probably the language. And then 12 months would do it. Because
if you do it in 6 months, they might not have the collections, or some might be coming in.
That's right. That's why I said.
You've got to worry about, I suppose, the cash balance, the cash flow of the health division and of this agency, too. Somehow you've got to mesh them, so that they both do what needs to be done. That probably means, I don't know, if we're going to start this January of 1990, it means it ought to be ready to go in January of 1990 with staff on board, everything ready, so that you can get those applications in and the money can flow in. And if it's delayed for any reason, then you do have trouble making these timelines.
Mr. Chair, as Representative Burton pointed out, it's in Section 2 that says a person shall, after January 1, 1990, not practice or use the LD acronym unless they were licensed with the board. That would probably have to be changed.
Yes.
Because where are people going to send their money?
What date would we use on that, would you propose? make it, assuming that some of the people apply ahead of the deadline, but...
Well, there's no emergency clause, so this becomes law 90 days after... We adjourn. Well, let's assume 90 days after July 1, because we don't know when we're going to get out of here anyway. But that would be the end of the fiscal year. So 90 days from then ought to be when you can start at really pulling in money.
Yeah.
What you want to deal with, I think, is Section 2. Is what is the deadline for which a person must... file their fee before they're in violation. So you might give them whatever you need there to publicize it. If the act in general goes into effect January 1st, 1990, you might want to give them several months to set up, give the board several months to set up its procedures and to get it out. So that might be middle of March or the end of March.
Mr. Chair, I think there's a consensus about March 1st, but just to comment on what
that'd
you said.
That'd be 2 months to adopt administrative rules, to mm-hmm. get the forms, to notify people. Do you think you can do that?
I'll let the board
speak to that. Yes, I can speak to that. Maybe Jody will. It's a very simple procedure because basically we're different from other boards in that we're all set at the national level. So basically what we have to do is send out a form, which they fill in their name and address and workplace and phone and that, and then send us a Xerox copy of their current registration with the American Dietetic Association, which puts them in total compliance with the standards of practice and outlined in this bill. And then all we have to do is then accept their money.
All right, so then on page 1, line 23, we strike out January and we insert March.
Mr. Chair.
Is that right? Yes.
That's assuming a 21-month budget, then I guess we just move to that. Because if you're going to have them getting together, you've got to move up to a 21-month budget minimally, because you're talking about an effective date of September 30th, roughly, based on what Representative Van Vliet starts, is saying you need 2 months into that. And the other question I've got is, while it may be easy to deal with the licensure part with the American Dietetic Association, don't we have do you have 14 days notice prior to a hearing on adoption of APA, and then you've got 30 days into that, so you're talking, aren't you talking 45 days?
Well, wait, you need for adoption rules? This would be an 18-month budget. You started January 1st.
Sure.
There's 18 months left.
You can make it on 18 months, yeah.
Mr. Chair,
yeah, March 1 just seems real optimistic to me, I guess.
Part of what was implicit in all of our assumptions was that this group is going to be really excited about becoming licensed and are going to start at it as soon as the bill passes the legislature and start recruiting and getting the word out that it's a good idea to license, and this is where you're sending your money, and this is where they're going to be housed, and this is where they're going to be located.
The question that Representative Burton is raising is the time required mm-hmm. to give notice of proposed rules.
Why can't you do the application without having done all the rules? Like, the statute gives them the authority to do the application, get the money in, doesn't it? That's the big thing they've got the timeline on.
Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, they probably shouldn't collect the revenues from the applications, because when they're collecting the revenues, they're certifying that this person is eligible, and if they're supposed to promulgate administrative rules defining what eligibility means, then they should have those rules in place. Well, my point was about them being excited and energetic and willing to volunteer. Is their intent to get going on that in September and draft their administrative rules and work on what they want those to be so that they can promptly file those with the Secretary of State at the beginning of January and not run into some time snags?
Another alternative would be to set the date in Section 2 as established by the rules. Reasonable, possible.
Yeah. Nobody's going to read this because it won't be an official law until 90 days after the legislature adjourns anyway. So.
I once loused up a licensing board.
It's not loused this one.
You shouldn't
please
say
don't.
That, Frank.
Yes, please
give
don't.
Them great confidence.
In which the legislature had provided for continuing education, and they had made that. That requirement had to be met by July 1st. And the law also gave the the board the power to set up the administrative rules governing the continuing education, but they would therefore have had to adopt the rules before they were authorized under the law to adopt the rules for the continuing education, so they had to backtrack, wait another year. Then the stupid guy that wanted me to do this came around 1 year later and he said, they can't do this to me. I don't believe in that. I didn't do the continuing education. I said, you've gone beyond the pale.
Mr. Chairman, I think that sounds like a good idea.
All right.
I think that gives the board a little bit of leeway. And also, again, realizing that our hammer over unlicensed dietitians or Senator Roberts, who's going to hang his sign out as licensed dietitian, is so soft, I'm not sure. I think the board may have some discussion about exactly when they want to set that date.
If there's no objection, then let's ask that we have an amendment drawn that would provide that on or after the date established by the rules adopted by the board, no person shall.
Okay.
As a voluntary group, it would be good to have really almost everything ready to go.
That's right.
Because I think that gives you a very short period of time to pay back your money if you officially start, your budget starts on January 1990, and you'd like to get the health division paid back within at least by July 1, 1990.
Mr. Chair, Representative Van Vliet, I think in discussions with Sonia and with the other dietitians is that recruitment for this licensure is going to begin as soon as this passes. There will be some...
You've all already written out your checks.
That's right. It's divided by 10.
Almost.
Before we leave this, yep. I do need to express, when we sat down with Carla, we went through the budgets and we went through the fees. Our recommendation of the Oregon Dietetic Association was a $50 licensure fee and a $45 application fee. That changes the ending balance or the carryover balance by $6,000. It makes it $6,000 less. We would prefer, it doesn't change the budget, we would prefer that kind of a licensing scheme.
We'll get to that in just a second. That's what Lana's holding his breath on.
No, I see in Carla's it says less general fund on the third page, and so that's where it shows the payback of the general fund.
There's not going to be any general fund, right?
Whatever it says, but I mean it's the money that would be identified as the money from the health division.
Well, listen, let's, just to clear it up, is it all right to instruct staff here to get a Section 19 amended to provide for the borrowing from the health division and the time it has to be repaid within the... would have to be paid, I presume, by June 30th or June 31st.
June 30th would be the end of the fiscal year.
End of the first fiscal year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that possible under this bill?
Gives you a 6 month payback.
No, that's just 6 months, though, isn't it? Let's give it a year. Let's make it.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would move that it be a year or less, whichever occurs first.
It says, right now it says no later than.
No later than.
I love that. I don't know what that means, but that sounds good.
That's pretty explicit.
We are all rummy.
It is January 19th.
Well, look, this is our relaxation from...
You're right. Yeah. Senator Roberts, that's what it now says. No later than January 1, 1991, which
is
1 year.
That's 1 year.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. If there's no objection, then we'll have the amendments brought back to us. Okay. All right. Now let's go to this to the fee problem. Yes. Sure.
Mr. Chair, what I had done was picked up on page 3 of the Executive Department's handout. The revenue from $55 licensing fees and $40 application fee. And in the expenditures, I have picked up 18 months starting January 1990. if the board prefers the $50 licensing fee and $45 application fee, my only concern is that the minimum balance needs to be about $15,000, and that is a little short. They maybe could make the application fee $47.50 or whatever it would take to bring it up to a $15,000 ending balance.
You used a general fund there in a 20 rather than 10.
Okay, the way I got to that figure was breaking it down on a monthly expense with the minimum that they would have to spend starting in January 1990 and going through March, assuming that the revenue starts coming in March. And that came out to be, as Carla said, around $6,000 to $7,000. $10,000 gives that little extra.
But you have 10, you had 20. He's asking you have 20.
It originally started as 20. Then
this should be 10.
I had cut it down to 10. So, and this was after the executive department had printed the $20,000.
I see.
But all these figures can work with $10,000 substituted for 20.
For 20.
But the application fee would have to be more like $47.50, is that right?
Yeah, I'm just doing that off the top of my head, but whatever it would take to raise that additional.
If you lowered this to 10, though, Ms. Chairman, if you lowered this to 10, this would give your $15,000 ceiling using the $15.40.
Yeah, then the less the 10, it comes out the same.
Yeah, it's the same.
Right?
Because you subtract 10, and you subtract only 10, you're right back to 54. With the operating, so you're still at 15.
Yeah, so you're using 20, so you cut that down to 10, so you're above your 15,000.
you added it and then subtracted it, so it's using it.
Okay. That's the way we balance the budget.
You've got to be fast.
Yes.
Do we need the 47.50?
No.
So we can go to
number here anyway.
50 and 45?
50 and 45.
And then also, if you're looking at the fiscal impact statement, Senator Hannon also pointed out that and the expenditures, you need to note on there that at $10,000 will be repaid, which brings the expenditure level from $30,189 to $40,189. So I'll fix that.
Okay. Now, are there any other questions here we need to resolve before we send you off to
Mr. Work? Chair, just to be sure, after all our discussion, we decided it was okay to leave out 16 and 17.
Yes.
And we agreed to that.
Yes.
Okay.
Any other problems?
Okay. Mr. Chair, those amendments we can do in concept, shall we do anything with the bill at this point? We're agreed on the amendments in concept.
Well, I'll accept the motion to do it in concept, and then we'll have to bring the materials back for a quick review by the committee.
Okay. And then we have to revisit it anyway, then. I guess it doesn't matter. I thought maybe you might want it just to go out. Why don't we just do it the other way, then?
All right. By the way, I did send a note to Mike requesting that the bill on the counselors.
Be assigned here.
All right. I haven't gotten any response.
I think we need to have some understanding of whether or not when they give us a bill, it's given just for hearing purposes, and then they don't want us to act until they give us further permission, or whether
I've got to assume that if a bill comes to the committee, it's in the committee, and we follow the Ways and Means rules that says every bill has to be reported out by a subcommittee.
I agree with that. Makes sense.
Obviously, the co-chair may be persuasive with us about whether or not they think something would be done, but I think it's the decision of the subcommittee.
A few million here, a few million there.
I think there was a rule change also that clarifies that, so we can do it that way.
Okay, any further business?
Just a comment, Mr. Chairman, since this is going to be coming back to us, and that is that I'm still having some very difficult time with this bill and its concept. I'm not particularly concerned very much about the budget, although I think there's some problems with that in relationship to it, but I think that the the what's laid out here isn't going to work. And so I need to have some more discussion, I guess, with
Well, you want it to have more teeth?
Well, I think you've laid out, yes, I do. I don't think there's anything in here to really invoke this to be useful, that what you're intending to do. I think we're moving towards a different, towards getting third-party reimbursement concept. I think that's what this is about, and that's fine. And how we're going to get there and how they're going to make the determination is yet to be seen. I think there's going to be some more costs in the budget for setups on this thing. The APA allows anybody who, you need 15-day notice in that. You get a 90-day hold-off time. The board has to, in case anybody wants to contest that case. The timelines aren't right on it. And I think those issues need to be discussed. I'm surprised the bill got to us in this form, having gone to the substantive committee. And I've just got some problems with it. I'll talk to you guys about it. But if it comes back, I'm a no-go right now. So, you know.
I think it would be very helpful if you would do that, so that when we come back with it, we might be able to take action.
I would remind Representative Peterson, or Representative Burton, has not really been, I understand, has not really been involved perhaps in this over other sessions, but we had bills that were far more strenuous bills that did a lot more, and in part because of a variety of opposition that was generated. It wasn't possible to get those bills through the legislative process. They specifically